Well, good morning. Man, it's great to have you here, and thank you so much for just being a part of this worship service, and I thank you for our guests for being here as well. You know, today is a special day because as I start this new series about celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ, it's also a very special day because Otis and Ashley is married for 1 year today. So I thought we'd give them a hand. And congratulations, you made it a year. Some say that it's the 7 year itch and, you know, and all those things, but the year, the honeymoon stage, you've conquered. And so we thank you for being a part of this church, and Otis for helping out back there and serving. And church family, this is a continual celebration. It looks like a lot of people are hot. Y'all hot? Yeah. Let's get the airs. I can see everybody fanning. I'm about to start fanning myself too. So anyway, I want to be able to just start off by sharing a little bit about this new series. And I titled it hashtag trending 30 AD. Hashtag trending 30 AD. Being able to celebrate Jesus from the things that he did back in 30 AD, the times when obviously there was no social media, there was no newspapers, there was no newscast, there's all these things that were going on, and everything becomes word of mouth and being able to share things and things that were actually going on that were current, and big events were actually taking place when the time of Christ came in. And I want to end up sharing this one thing. It says the only constant is change, that everything else flows and nothing stands still. Everything is constantly changing, and the only one constant is change, as well as Jesus Christ. Seasons are going to change. People are going to change. Civilizations are going to rise and they're going to fall. Our bodies are going to change. My body has changed a lot, okay? They even had to lower the podium because, I mean, I'm getting smaller, I guess. I'm getting fatter, smaller, my hair is receding, I'm getting more gray. I don't know what's really going on with me, but my body's changing. And we see governments change, our personalities. Have you noticed that your personality has changed over time? You maybe, some of us, we get more set in our ways the older that we get, and we're not really subject to want to change, and we fight that change. Is there anything in life constant and consistent, though, going on? I like what Malachi 3:6 says. It says, I am the Lord, and I do not change. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or as he has spoken, and he will not make it good? The Old Testament, two Old Testament verses to help set the stage for this whole entire message and this series that I'll be sharing for the upcoming weeks. As I share this new series about the hashtag trending 30 AD, in a world that we are living in, all the things that are come in and out, have you noticed that? There's so many things in life that are you in? Is that in? Is that current? And then all of a sudden, before you know it, you blink and it becomes out again. And then you got to buy all these new wardrobes. All the sayings, the things that when I teach and stuff, and all the things that people say all the time, and the things that are going on. And then no longer is it cool. Is no longer is it the trend. No longer is it anything. It becomes obsolete. So clothing, sayings, technology, music. You remember the music that you loved listening to back then? Do you still listen to it today? Nothing. Nothing ever just stays constant. The only thing that has been truly constant for the past 2,000 years is this. Is that Jesus Christ left the King of Thrones, came down to live for 33 years, that lived a perfect life, sinless life. He came for each and every single one of us, and he died on an old rugged cross for my sins, for your sins. And then on that third day, he rose from the dead, and he ascended after many, many, many hundreds of people witnessed him, ascended back to the throne of grace. And from that time forward, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be able to receive the Holy Spirit inside you, and you will live eternally with him. That's the constant. That's the one thing that has not changed, is that true story and that true invitation that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through him. He is our constant. In the verse of the week that Curtis read, and I appreciate Curtis, you doing that, Isaiah 40:28, and to set the scene, have you never heard, have you never understood that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth, the creator of us? He never grows weak. He's never going to grow weary. He's never going to lose his power. He's never going to lose his ability. He's never going to lose all the awesomeness and the awe of who he is that makes us why we're here today to come and worship him. He is all El Shaddai, the great I am. And we come in here and we celebrate him and we honor him today. No one can measure his depths of his understanding. God never gets less. He always and always will remain the most powerful and the most loving God and the most just God. So what was life like for Jesus Christ? In Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the things that we see, the way he was, the things that we read about 2,000 years ago, all the stories of who he is the same as he is today, as he was last week in your life. When you were going through what you were going through, he's the same right now. And the things that you may not be going through, but you will be going through later on, he's that same constant. And what you think about him back then in 2,000 years ago, and you read the personal stories that the woman at the well, or the woman caught in adultery, or the man, or Zacchaeus come down from the tree, or reading about all these things that just makes you want to jump and celebrate and thank him for the grace and the unconditional love and the healing power. All the things that he did is still current today. It would all be trendy. It would all be constant. It would all be talked about today. All the shifting, all the changing. Do you see things shifting and changing in your life right now? Things going on in your kids' lives, school life. You see things going on in your marriage. You see things going on in your health. You see things going on in the church. You see things going on in your workplace. You see things going on in your family structure. You see things going on spiritually for you. You're not the same person as you were when you first gave your life to the Lord. You're either growing with Christ, or you have begun to fall away, or you might have stayed stagnant, and you're wishing that the pool will begin to get stirred up, and you say, I want to be excited like I was that day when I gave my life to Christ. What happened? What's going on? Why am I not feeling the way that I was? Why am I going through this? And God has us going through different things and allows different things to happen in our life so that we can experience him and draw closer to him each and every day. So what was Jesus going through 2,000 years ago? One, you would understand that Jesus was the most radical man that ever walked the face of the earth. There's even a book called Radical Christianity. Because to be a Christian, it is radical. By the way, To be a Christian, it is very, very radical. I don't know if you've noticed that. And if people are not seeing you as being radical, you have to look at your life and say, am I being the salt and the light wherever I go? Because to believe in Jesus Christ, to believe what he says that he is, that put him on the cross, that he's the only way, is radical. Because no one else has ever rose from the dead, and no one else has ever claimed that besides Jesus Christ. But not only was he radical, he was miraculous. And not only was he miraculous, he was exceptional. And not only was he radical and exceptional, but he was so genuine and so real. I think it's one of the things that I love most about Jesus Christ is how genuine and how real he was. He was so approachable. And I think that that's what we need in today. I think that we need a God that we can come and just be who we are and just approach him. Because he accepts us exactly who we are and how we are. Every one of us. Are you missing that in your world today? Are you missing some genuine, just real friends? Are you missing some genuine church? Are you missing some genuine relationships? Are you missing just something that's just real and genuine to you? It's getting harder and harder to find that throughout this world. Jesus was and is not like anything else. And he was trying to prove that. One crowd at a time. One synagogue at a time. One family at a time. And one person at a time. You are not insignificant. He didn't have to just go to the crowds in the synagogues. He'll meet you right where you are by yourself. And story after story, you'll see him show up at a time that he needed to just to be with that one person. He'll do the same thing for you. You are not lost. You are not forgotten. You need to trust that. You need to know that. You are not insignificant. Psalms 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures for all and to all generations. The trend that he carried with him was this unconditional love that endures forever and ever and ever and is passed down to generation to generation. That's why you fell in love with Christ, because your parents and your grandparents and your grandparents and your grandparents all have found that Jesus Christ was the only constant in their life as well. And they have been passing this along to you as well. So what was trending in 30 AD, I'm praying will be celebrated in 2018 and 2019 and 2020 in your life. And I pray it happens every day. We need to celebrate God every single day. We need to celebrate Christ every day. Why are we not talking about him more? Why don't we ever see him on the news? Why don't we see him in the Dallas Morning News written about? Why are we not taking out the front page of the cover? All these people that got all this money and that are Christians, why don't we just take out the whole page and talk about Jesus? Some people even say, you know what? I'm going to spend $10,000 a month and I'm going to put a billboard up so everybody will see it. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I love that. Why are we not singing about him more and talking about him more and honoring him more and all the things that we do? Why are we not doing that more? And some of us may say, I'm doing my part, and you are. That's great. But could we be doing more? The definition of trending is this: a general direction in which something is developing or changing. When I looked that up, I was thinking, what's the whole idea of this trending? A general direction which something, whatever it is in our life, that is something that's about to develop or is developed and is about to change or has changed. So what is trending right now in 2018? Number one, just for technology, live video. 95% of all business executives will be doing their marketing strategy all going live. This is what is changing, what is trending right now, is live video. The chatbots. has jumped dramatically. So have you, how many of you guys are starting to order your food? And we got, you know, obviously we have Uber and Uber pickups and all the different things that you can do. If you want something, you can get it faster. I was excited just to get a snow cone. When you hear the sound of the snow cone man with the crazy weird noise, but it makes you excited, and you jumped out and you're just looking for quarters anywhere, and you realize you're $3 short still for a cone. Now you don't have to worry about it. If you want to get someone, you want an ice cream, you want a Big Mac, it's there in 20 minutes. And you don't have to leave. It's pretty cool. I haven't done it yet, but it's cool. Looking out there, what else is trending? Fashion. If you are wearing color purple, a nice little lavender, if you are into the art-infused look, if you're wearing plaid, I see some plaid. He is completely in right now, just so you know. You are looking very stylish, sir. He is in. He is trending right now. He's doing really, really good. High-intensity interval training. It's called the HIIT. How awesome is this? The number one fitness trend. You work out for 40 minutes as fast as you possibly can. I couldn't even keep up with that dance song going like this. That was my 40-minute workout. But it's called the HIIT. No longer are people using the exercise apps. That is so out, guys. If you want to travel, you need to go to the Philippines for your one-year anniversary. Boracay. Boracay is the number one place everybody's traveling to. Girls and guys, you need to have more water-infused products for your facial creams and lip oils. Look in your home. If you got anything going black, black is back. The matte black look, that's what you want in your house right now. Until next year, then you got to throw it all out. But this is interesting. The number one trend right now in the churches, I thought I'd mention this. The number one trend comes from the baby boomers and the millennials. And they are infusing together. You know what they both want? They want unity. And they want diversity. They want diversity within the church, but they want unity. This is the number one trend that's supposed to take us up to 2020. And it's funny because it just says the 2020, even though this is a 2,000-year practice in the book of Acts, as Jesus is trying to bring the whole churches together and say, everybody's welcome in church. I want everybody. I want the Greeks and I want the Gentiles. I want the Gentiles. I want the Jews. I want the Samaritans. I want everybody to be together. No one should be separated. But that's trending. That's funny. All of that was supposed to be in practice. But for that to be trending, that's a pretty scary thing if that's not being taken place in the church. We shouldn't just be having this type of service and this type of service because of color and ethnicities and all these different things. We should be coming together. But if you'd like to know more of the trends coming up, I would like for you to see my blog. It's called Trending Troy. Check it out anytime you like. I'll let you know what's going to happen. The bottom line is this, is I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the central figure of the world. He is the central figure of this church and of our lives. So let's get into God's word today. If you would, please turn with me to Luke chapter 9, verse 28. He is the focus. We have to get in God's word, and even though we can have some fun right now, but if we're not talking and we're not using God's word, then it does not matter. It just becomes like any other day. We are going to look at some of the greatest events coming up in history, what would actually have been trending, what would actually have been talked about. And matter of fact, this huge event that we're about to talk about, even Jesus Christ says, don't talk about it. One of the greatest events that have ever happened in the history of the world, Jesus said, don't talk about this during this time, this present time. And what was happening during this time, 8 days before this event that we're about to hit, Jesus was sharing and predicting his death. He said, hey, if you want to be a follower of mine, you're going to have to lose your life if you want to gain it. The disciples trying to understand that. What do you mean? Meaning that you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to pick up your own cross. If you really, truly don't want to just be a fan of mine, but you want to be a follower of mine, you're going to have to go through some of the things that I'm going through. And it wasn't good. And then 8 days later, this event will take place. In verse 28, it says, about 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, John, and James up on a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was transformed, meaning Jesus, and his clothes became dazzling white. One scripture will say it looks like lightning is flashing. And suddenly two men, Moses and Elijah, they give us the account of who these people are, appeared and began talking with Jesus. And they were glorious to see. And they were speaking about his exodus, about his departure from this world, which is actually the crucifixion of when he's going to die. Remember, right before this, he's talking about Jesus protecting his death. And here, he's up on top of this mountain, talking about it, which was about to be fulfilled in Jerusalem, verse 32. And Peter and the others had already fallen asleep. Keep that in mind right there. Peter and others had already fallen asleep. And when they woke up, they saw Jesus' glory and the two men standing with him. As Moses and Elijah were starting to leave, Peter, not even knowing what he was even saying, blurted out, Master, it's wonderful for us to be here. The understatement of the year. Let's make three shelters as memorials. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But even as he was saying this, a cloud overshadowed them. This whole Greek overshadow is the same Greek as when the angel of the Lord came and overshadowed also Mary when Jesus came. It's the same meaning. It's the same terms, by the way. Just keep that in mind. He overshadowed them, and terror gripped them as the cloud covered them. Verse 35. Then a voice from the cloud said, This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And when the voice finished, Jesus was there alone. And they didn't tell anyone at that time what they had seen. The first thing I'd like for us to know is this. As we look at where this place is, you'll see over here on the screen, scholars say that this is on Mount Tabor. On Mount Tabor, we may have a picture. Do we have a picture? Maybe? Yeah, there we go. It's the northern part of Israel here. It's the northern part. And this is where most scholars will say that this actually took place. And Jesus Christ is going to reveal just a bit, a short time, of his glory. And a lot of things are going to happen here. And three things I want us to make sure that we know as we finish up with this particular first story, this huge event, is number one, as we already started off, is this. We must celebrate Jesus Christ daily in our life. We must celebrate him every day. Jesus is worthy of praise. And God says so over and over. He is the chosen one. This was an unbelievable, figuratively and realistically, a literal mountaintop experience. What are your mountaintop experiences? Do you remember some of yours? Does any of them just flash back when you wake up or you're going to bed and you're laying still and you're thinking about, have you thought about some of your mountaintop experiences that you've had with God? Hang on to those because you need to celebrate those. Celebrate those mountaintop experiences. One of them was mine when I was in Buena Vista at a Young Life camp at Frontier Ranch in Buena Vista. And we had to spend the day, and we were just going, and we had to take this bus ride. And then they say, hey, you're going to climb this mountain. And not just you, but all 500 of you are going to climb this mountain. Every single person climbs the mountain. Every single person. And as you go over the Continental Divide, this mountain is 4,000 feet up in the air. It will take a half a day to hike this mountain. And when you get to the top, you sit there for about 15 to 20 minutes, and then you got to start making your way back down. But that experience and that being able to be on top of this mountain, on this peak, with 500 people to experience God's glory was a pretty magical experience. And I've had the opportunity to do that about 4 or 5 times. And each experience was awesome. And what made it even more special is the people that really couldn't walk that much, that could, was struggling. There you saw people go down the mountain, and then they were picking them up and carrying them up the mountain so they could all experience that. That's the church. We need to all be there for each other, to each person to be able to experience that. Now here you got Peter, James, and John. They're just experiencing this, seeing the glory of Jesus. And they're sitting, he's there talking to two of the greatest Old Testament heroes of faith of that day. And Peter's loving every bit of it. I think we would be in Peter's faith. I mean, just the same expression, the same, I am so excited. What do I do? I mean, I would just be going bananas, just trying to figure out, looking at everything and trying to focus and trying to hear everything and watch everything taking place. And Peter's doing the exact same thing. And James and John, they were not sleeping there anymore. They were experiencing it too. We just don't have record that they too were probably jumping up and down and excited about seeing this unbelievable event that no one else on earth was going to ever get a chance to see. It was a celebration. And they chose to want to celebrate right then. It was like Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving and a birthday and like your happiest moment of your life all rolled into one. Do you think it changed their life? Do you think it would have changed your life? And then all of a sudden, Peter speaks up, just like Peter always does. We should build this memorial site. We should build this shelter for each and every single one of them. All three of you guys, you all three deserve an equal shelter. Let's celebrate you. Let's make sure everybody knows that we're up here and that you all three need to be honored and glorified. Not knowing what he's saying, though, there becomes a problem. There becomes a big problem, which leads me to my second thing I want to share with you. We never elevate any other man or woman who did great things for God. You never elevate anyone. We look at them as an examples that they true are just normal sinners that made mistakes, that tried their best and honored God and wanted to serve God, and that the Holy Spirit, which at the time in the Old Testament, God was working through these people just as the Holy Spirit is working through us. But we learn right now that no one is on the same playing field as Jesus Christ. No one is, and no one ever will be. And matter of fact, all the good ones, like Billy Graham or a Mother Teresa, none of them would ever say, ever put me on the same level as them. Only the people that are looking for their own glory and their own pride would ever say, yeah, go ahead and build me something. Go ahead and make me a statue. Go ahead and make sure that people know who I am. You got to worry a little bit about that. And then there's times also that we sometimes place people on a pedestal. We look at people and say, wow, man, look at this person's life, or look at her life, and look at his life and the way that they live. Never place anyone on a pedestal. You can look at their life as an example, but go live out the example that God is leading for your path and for your way, because that was God's for them. So never, ever look for it for yourself, and never look at it for anyone else. This is why sometimes we hear in the church or out there says, you know, I left the church, or I don't like the church because of this person, or because of that leader, that pastor, that whatever. You know how much pressure that is on a person? They're going to be followed, but they're going to make mistakes, right? I'm going to make mistakes. People are going to make mistakes. And when you put all your stock and you put all your eggs in that one basket, in that one situation with that person, and they don't live up to the expectation you have, and you realize that they are human, and then we say, huh, I don't know if this is the place for me. The attention should always be on Jesus Christ. In Luke 9:35, God cuts to the chase while he was still talking. He just basically cut him off and said, wait a minute. You want to build three shelters for these three people, for these other two? I mean, they're great guys and I love them and all, but he's not God. And he's not God. This is my beloved. In the Greek, literally means my chosen one, means my beloved one. And sometimes God has to intervene in our life to get our focus back to where it needs to be. Because sometimes our focus gets off, and sometimes just for a minute, we start saying, oh, this and this, and we start feeling this way or acting this way, and we start wanting to honor this and honor that. And we might have mean well. I think Peter meant well, right? I don't think he was trying to say anything wrong. He was just caught up in the moment. He was just trying to do something good. And sometimes in life, that's what we do. We just want to get caught up in the moment, but that's not the way that God had it intended. And so God sometimes has to intervene in our life and says, hey, who are you trying to honor in the first place? It's always going to be El Shaddai. It's always going to be the great I Am. It's always going to be Jesus Christ alone. Always. Moses is a great guy. He represented the law in the Old Testament. The commandments came down, and there he ended up giving all the Levitical priests all the instructions on how to live their life. And then eventually he ends up dying. Guess what? No one today knows where his body is. No one does except for God. Why? Because he's not going to have a monument. He's not going to have a memorial. People are not going to go there and break the first two commandments that he set out and gave. It's honor the Lord God Almighty alone, and that is it. And that's why there is no statue, and that's why there's no memorial, and that's why you're not going to find any of the disciples play their bodies and stuff. They may say that that's where they are, but it's never supposed to be honored that way. And then Elijah, as Moses represented the law, Elijah represented the prophets, the greatest prophet of all in all of Israel. No monument for him. You know why? Because his body went straight up to heaven. And as Elisha watched on, as his body was taken in the fire of chariots, was taken up, only him and Enoch were the only ones that have never experienced death. Two people in the Bible, that is it. And Elijah is one of them. And so there his body comes. It is also believed by scholars, and my belief as well, that it will be Moses and Elijah that will be returning as the two main witnesses in Revelation chapter 11 that you can read later on. They will come back to this earth. I believe it will be them too as well. So Jesus was fulfillment, fulfilling these things. Matthew 5:17, as I'm getting closer to the end here. Matthew 5:17 says this, don't misunderstand why I have come. This is Jesus saying, I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writing of the prophets from Elijah. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. And could you imagine during that time that Jesus Christ saying these words out front of all these people? You know, people were trying to stone him. People were trying to create riots. People were trying to shut him up. People were trying to get rid of Jesus Christ as he kept on saying that who you see, I am God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I've come to fulfill the prophets. I've come to fulfill the law. These things were words, and these things were actually a death sentence every time he spoke up and he said these things. This is why, at the previous time when I read to you before, 8 days before this transfiguration, 8 days before, he was predicting his death because he knew what he was saying in front of these people. He knew what was going to happen to him. And this is what they were talking about. They were on the transfiguration talking about the Exodus, talking about the cross. And John and James and Peter were half asleep. They missed. They were missing this conversation. They were waking up in the middle of it and said, wait a second. What? Go back and repeat everything that just happened now. Have you ever done that in life? Have you ever woke up and you're like, you missed a part of the game, or you missed part of a conversation, or somebody was talking to you and you don't remember anything that they said, or you were sitting in a church and the pastor was talking and then all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, he's still up there. This was what was going on. Do you imagine today? You get the news today, and the transfiguration's taking place today. It's made CNN, Fox News, 4, 5, 8, 11, and Telemundo. It's making all the news. Jesus Christ and followers. What if the church? Well, we'd be having a riot all over the place. People would be turning over cars, blowing things up, breaking into businesses, all this stuff, because you can't talk about Jesus Christ without persecution and without things going to happen. It's a name that will glorify and change the world, or it's a name that will cause more problems than you could ever imagine. It's the way that Satan had it all planned out. And the last thing I want to share is this. We never want to be too spiritually sleepy to miss the glory of God. Are we spiritually sleepy right now? I mean, last night we got an extra hour of sleep. But what did we do? Nathan and I were talking about, we just stayed up an hour extra, right? So everybody's sleepy again. And that's what we do in life spiritually. You may get that hour to be able to spend time with God, to talk about God, to sing with God and do all these things, but sometimes we just fill in the blank. We say, we got this extra money, so I'm going to end up using it for this instead of giving it to whatever. Or I got this extra time, I'll just give it to this instead of giving it to God's glory. Or I got this whatever. And we come up with whatever reasons and things, and so often happens that we become spiritually sleepy and we just miss it. We become stagnant. We become preoccupied. We become apathetic, meaning that not that we don't care. It's just that we don't care. Isn't that reality sometimes? I mean, no one wants to say that out loud. It's not that I don't care, God. It's just that I don't care, God. And I need you to somehow change my heart so I can start caring again. I want you to take me back when I was back on that mountain. I don't want to sleep through half of it and ask you to repeat, because I know that time is limited and I'm running out of time. And I'm tired of being stagnant. I'm tired of being spiritually dead. I'm tired of all these things going on in my life. and blaming you and everybody else for what I'm doing. I want to go back. I want to go back and I want to climb the mountain with you, God. And I want to see the whole thing this time. No regrets. No regrets this time. Jesus is worth celebrating because he is equal to God the Father. John 12:45 says, "He who sees me is the one who sent me." We want to celebrate Jesus Christ because he's the one that bears the name of the Father, Yahweh. He is the great I am. Jesus tells and says, "Tell the I am has sent you. Before Abraham was, I am." And the third thing is why we should celebrate Jesus is because he receives equal worship. As Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." And you know what? Jesus didn't have one problem with that. He received it. And you know why he received it? Because he knows exactly who he is. He received it as true. Right before the transfiguration, verse 9:26, 8 days prior, as he's predicting his death, he says this, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory of the Father and his holy angels." Let's never be ashamed of God. Let's never be ashamed of Jesus Christ or mentioning Jesus Christ in our prayers. We hold our heads up high. We say what we got to say. We believe what we got to believe. And we do whatever it takes to make sure that we can go and we can climb the mountain. And when we're on top of that mountain, we make sure that we see that everyone else is up there. And if they're not up there, then what do? We go back down to the mountain. We all go together and we pick that person up and we take them so they can experience the same thing. The Transfiguration, you can take a taxi and there's two churches up there right now. Or you can climb the 14,000 steps. I'd rather walk it so I can enjoy and not miss his glory. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you as we celebrate and honor this day, that this is your day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. So as we come before you, Father, I pray that God, if there is anyone here that has not experienced your glory, that has not been able to see who you are, I pray right now that God, that they would ask those that have, and that we would take those people with us. Father God, we just want to just tell you we love you. We want to tell you that, God, that you are the true great I am. That, Lord, that you're the one that can fill our hearts and change our lives, that can bring us the peace, that can bring us the healing. Let those 2,000-year-old stories reign true right now in each one of our lives. Radically change us. Miraculously change us. Exceptionally change us. And Lord, allow us to be true and genuine followers of you. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.